Hi, friends. Thanks for joining us for the Messiah's Misfits podcast. No matter where you are in your walk of faith, this podcast is to help us to grow and to learn. I'm Mary Ventures, and I'm joined with my friends Randall and Josh Newby.
Shalom.
Hello.
Hello. I like that. Hello. let me tell you what. Last week, we were fired up.
Oh, wow.
And I think that we should go back and finish that.
Can I get an amen?
Amen. You can. It was good.
I'll give you an amen on that one.
There you go.
Wow. That was such a phenomenal, phenomenal challenge.
Yes.
When David said, he said that, I will rejoice in thy mercy.
Mm-hmm.
It was a rejoicing moment. And I pray that our listeners since then have rejoiced in God's mercy. And
yes,
you found that gladness in the midst of whatever adversity we're facing, and I pray to God that you've got victory. And I'm excited about maybe see what we can go to tonight, maybe finish this or something. But man, there is so much more.
Oh yeah, we didn't want to leave y'all hanging on this one. We needed to go back and pick this one back up.
There's still some gold in the veins in the mountain that needs to be prospected and dug
listen
out.
Listen to this. Mm. I hear Western music playing in my head. Some old Western movie he done watched.
There's gold in their hills. Yes, absolutely.
Well, if you didn't join us last week, we were talking in where we were going over Psalms 31. And we had made it down, I think, 12, but let's go back to 11 just to kind of, you know, if for a quick recap, David is very stressed, and he's grieved. He's got a lot of stuff going on here.
Referred to Saul chasing him down. And,
yes.
Many things, but David was looking to God. He was making this prayer.
Mm-hmm.
He's making some requests to God, and as we see this year, we're seeing God, how He was answering those requests, and how David was being blessed,
right,
in his prayer. So that's an encouragement to us that when we pray, God does answer,
yes,
and He blesses us.
He does hear you.
He blesses a prayer warrior.
That's right. That's right.
And so that just gives us that encouragement to pray. And so I'm excited about getting into the next part of what David was saying here, and how the psalm was written out.
Yes, this is a psalm of prayer, and let's pick it up in 11. He said, "I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They were afraid of him, they that did see me without fled from me." He said, "I am forgotten as a dead man, out of mind. I am like a broken vessel."
Wow. He felt useless.
Mm-hmm.
He felt used, like he couldn't contribute.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I mean, if you're running for your life,
right,
you're going to feel that way.
Well, think about this. You're out there hanging your clothes on the line, and King David comes up in your backyard. You might just run and hide. I mean, he struck fear in
he did
you in know, his enemies.
He didn't know what was going. The moment was going to bring.
Yes, exactly.
But I go back to verse 12. There, he said, "I am forgotten as a dead man."
Yes.
You know, that's a pretty devastating state of loneliness.
Yeah.
He felt like he had no one to talk to.
Isolation.
Yes, he's mm-hmm. very isolated here,
mm-hmm.
on the run, and
yes.
nobody to refer to or talk to or share what was going on. That's why he had to have a prayer life with God, because he knew that God wouldn't forsake him, God would not abandon him in any trouble he's going through. So therefore, he said, but to man, he said, "I'm forgotten."
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, we as friends, you know, the Bible says for a man to have friends, he must show himself friendly.
Right.
You know, we need friendships in our life.
Right.
We need partners of accountability.
Yes.
And what Dave was saying here is, "I'm just forgotten."
Mm-hmm.
And that's a miserable state.
Well, he's hiding from all of his friends. He's hiding, you know, because first of all, it's not just about him. If he hides in his friends' homes, Saul's going to kill them all. So
puts their family in jeopardy.
Exactly. So he had to go out on his own.
Yeah.
But he was never alone.
Amen.
He was never alone.
God considered his trouble.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes, he did.
He said in 13, "For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life."
Yes.
They're conspiring to kill me, and I've heard about it. Yes. It's gotten back to me, and I know who's after me.
So you've got someone that's lonely.
Yes.
You got someone that's forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got, in verse 13, you got someone who's fearful.
Yes.
I mean,
he's got a whole passel of trouble right
he's
there.
He's got a big old basket,
mm-hmm.
and he's carrying around of a lot of heavy burdens here.
Right.
I mean, that's a lot to bring to the table.
It is. It is.
You pray for the morning,
mm-hmm.
and you pray for the night.
Well, and you're used to feasting with kings. You're used to having servants. You're used to having all of these things, and they've all been taken away from you.
Yeah. Wow.
Now you're going to find your own food. And like you said, you can't just walk up to anybody because you're hiding. And if you're somebody, everybody knew who King David was.
Yeah.
So if you come out and say, "Can I eat with you guys tonight?" You're just putting a mark on those people's house.
Yeah. Wow.
Plus, you're giving away your hiding place.
True.
So, I mean, he had a lot going on.
He had to trust solely
in
God.
That's right. That's right.
He was in a severe state.
He was. But look here in 14.
Oh, look out now.
He
look
says,
out.
"But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God."
Oh, praise God.
He could have
God.
Said, "Why are you doing this to me, God? Why are you allowing this to happen to me?" He didn't say that.
Never did. Never
he
did.
Knew God wasn't doing it. He just, knew who was doing it.
He just said, "Lord, in spite of all this,
in spite
of all this going on, no matter what I feel, what I'm going through, I'm going to trust you, Lord.
Amen.
I trust you."
Yes.
Wow.
And that's hard to do when you just went through what he's going through right here.
Yeah.
Wow. He didn't even have a therapist. He didn't have anybody to talk to. He didn't have a friend to text and be like, "Look, I'm in trouble." No.
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 It was solely God.
Right.
It was solely God. He said, in spite of all, David maintained, I like this, he maintained that you are my God.
Yes.
He maintained that.
He's solid.
That's what we've got to, we cannot waver. We must be, we must be content with God.
Right. That's right.
Boy,
will we be so much better off that way.
Oh, man, 14 right there is the, what I would call the pinnacle of this chapter.
Yes. The turning point.
Yes. Right there is, beautiful right there.
Well, 15 says, "My times are in thy hand."
And that's a good thing for us.
Right.
Because he said, "Lord, my affairs."
Yes.
My everyday life is in your hands.
That's right.
And that's what we got to do.
We do. We just got
to
trust him.
Got to do that. Didn't he say that in one of the first verses over here?
Oh, yeah.
Where was that at? What verse? Verse 5. "And I commit my spirit."
Yes.
He kept this whole, I guess, the whole theme through this of all the things that God was doing.
Right.
And he echoes that many times of echoes of trust through different statements here of what he was doing. And he said, "My times are in thy hand."
Mm-hmm.
My affairs.
Yeah.
That's how we've got to live our life.
We do. We really do, because if he's got us in his hands, he said that, you know, there's nothing stronger than him. There's nothing better than him. Yeah. So what do we got to fear?
I try. It's minute by minute,
mm-hmm.
hour by hour. Lord, I trust you.
That's right.
I don't want to be 1 second without you. I don't want to be away from you.
No. He's saying this. I've got nothing to do. I've got just time.
Yeah.
Just time. It's your time when I come out of hiding, is what he's saying. I'm here for a purpose. And he knew it. Because he could have stood against Saul. But, I mean, you're in the enemy camp, basically.
Right, right.
At that point. So he said, "Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me, Saul." Didn't say Saul, but there you go. And think about the people who were jealous of David that were under Saul. They were happy to find David and kill him. He says, make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me from thy mercies, for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave.
Yeah.
Wow.
I like that verse 16. Lord, make your face to shine upon thy servant.
Yes.
I like it when the Lord smiles upon me.
Oh, yes. Me too. Way better than a reprimand.
Oh, man. I like it when the Lord smiles upon me.
Yes.
I like that. That's good stuff right
there.
That
is.
He said, Lord, save me.
Yes.
Just because you love me, Lord. Save me because you love me.
What do you think he meant when he said, let the wicked be ashamed and let them be silent in the grave?
That's what he meant.
That's exactly what he meant. He meant, let them die.
Yeah.
Let them die, not me.
Out of our remembrance, out of our sight.
That's right. That's right. They are wicked.
He may got a little bit of the flesh right there.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, he was talking about the wicked. So. Yeah.
And what he was saying was really a spot-on statement.
Because
when the wicked dies,
yep,
they're gone.
They're silent.
They are silent.
That's right. They're not going to cause any more grief.
Nope, they're done. Their days are numbered.
He's 18 says, let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous.
Well, he said, touch not thine anointed, do thy prophets
no
harm.
That's right.
And so what Dave was saying right there, he said, Lord, let the lying lips be put to silence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and no weapon formed against us shall prosper.
Right. And you know, so, the Lord loves you to bring his word to him.
Absolutely.
And, you know, David knew everything that he had heard that was written, or, you know, he knew it.
Yes.
I think he committed it to memory. And he said, oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. People don't fear God. You know, people think that, you know, oh, he's just this peace. Listen, let me tell you something. When he says that to fear him, you know, with fear and trembling is our salvation,
yes,
right? So he said here, he said, oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee. So he's talking about himself because he knew he feared God, right? So listen, folks, he's preaching to himself in his lonely place as he's talking to God.
Well, that's what David did any other time when they come in and took his wives and all his children.
Mm-hmm.
David encouraged himself
in the Lord.
So that wasn't just a one-time
mm-hmm.
event.
Nope.
But David maintained
right.
that trusting relationship. He maintained him as his only true God. So therefore, David encouraged himself through these prayers. When he says this right here, he said, that which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, that word laid up is prepared.
Right.
God has already prepared blessings. That's why the enemy fights against us so hard,
mm-hmm.
because they know that God is going to be with them and God is going to bless them. So Satan tries everything he can to cause us to doubt God or turn our back upon God, because he knows that we're just going to get that much more blessed.
Right.
And when you look at that word prepared, it's the same meaning as it's in 1 Corinthians 2 and 9. When it says, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither in the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. That's the same encouragement for us today.
That is.
When we know what God has prepared. This is, mm-hmm. David said, I'm going through one of the worst trials of my life, but I know God's already got something laid up for me I come through this.
That's right.
David already had the victory.
He did.
He already knew he was going to win this battle.
He did. He did. And you know, I think a lot of the points that we bring out about David, you know, I know that he was in anguish and that he was in grief, but I don't know that he was afraid.
But he didn't let that control him.
No, he did not. He did not let that overtake his.
He did not.
And that's, you know, that's what we're saying, you know, when he's talking to himself. As he's talking and he's rolling this out to God,
mm-hmm.
he's encouraging himself, like you said, in the Lord. And I feel like if we would do that, you know, Lord, you promised me You promised me. Your word says you'll give me favor. You said you'd make me the head and not the tail. You would deliver me in my time of trouble. That's all he's doing.
That's what he's doing.
He's like Bear Bryant in the locker room giving a speech. But
he knew God.
This worked.
He knew God.
Yeah.
He knew God.
He
and that's what
God.
We need to do. When we come to prayer, we need to know who God is.
That's right.
Know who God is to us.
Who are you talking to?
Yes.
And it's going to come
not,
across
We're not
more.
Talking to a lying vanity.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
We're not talking to some man-made.
Made up
idol. Mm-hmm. We're talking to the creator of heavens and
Praise
earth.
God.
Mm. And David, that's what David, yeah, he felt the fiery darts of the enemy hit him. He was feeling the pain.
It hurt him.
The grave. Dead.
Yes.
Knowing that his one whom he had served and whom he had played for so many mm-hmm. times, and the demonic spirits would flee, the evil spirits would flee from mm-hmm. David had a love for Saul.
Yes.
And he was hurt for that.
Yes.
But for him to, he made a point where that would not control the emotions of his life that caused
right.
him to just roll over and die or give
exactly.
up. He said, Lord, I know you're going to bring me through this.
Right.
He said, they're going to be put in the grave and they're going to be silenced.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but I know that you've got something prepared for me.
Yes, yes.
And
he did.
We need to take that to heart tonight.
Mm-hmm.
This ain't the end, folks. This
no,
is just
not.
Another stepping stone to the purpose that God has never made one mistake. And God has never abandoned one plan
Mm-mm.
of your life. It has not diminished one iota.
No.
The same plan That's God started out with you is the same plan that you're going to see you through.
Well, see, David was being, the Lord was strengthening David. Because, listen, David, after all this, David's fixing to be king.
Yeah.
And he's got to stand in some big rooms.
He does.
God's fixing to bring him into some great and mighty positions.
Success and promotion's
exactly.
coming.
Exactly. So if, what better way to train your king?
Oh, hallelujah.
To step up and take his place by bringing him through these adversities.
These are boot camp.
That's right.
Boot camp times.
That's right. And David might not have known it at the time, but it was happening. So in 20, he says, thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly into a pavilion from the strife of tongues. The pride of man, that's Saul. His pride is wounded, so he's wanting to kill David. Blessed be the Lord, for he has showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplication when I cried unto thee.
Hmm.
That's something right there.
When I cried
yes.
unto thee. He didn't get on his phone.
Nope.
He didn't get on his text. He didn't get on his computer.
I do that in the grocery store.
He said, Lord, I cried unto thee.
Yes. I'm in the grocery store saying, they're taking too long. Why is this? This is a problem. When I should be looking around, seeing who I can talk to about Jesus. Right?
Yeah.
David's taken the opportunities that he's been given
mm-hmm.
at this time, and he is using
it. Turned it into a testimony.
He absolutely did.
Turned it into a testimony.
Mm-hmm.
Here to see what God had done. He goes back and he said, Lord, he said, you've got rich rewards that are laid up for those who put their trust
mm-hmm.
in you. Lord, I know you're going to protect the righteous.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, I know you're going to keep them from slander.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, you have shown me marvelous
kindness.
You've shown me marvelous kindness. He said, I was hasty at first and I thought I would be cut off. You know, sometimes we can get kind of hasty.
Oh, we do. Snippy.
You know, we can say, well,
mm-hmm.
You know, David is being very truthful here.
Right.
I mean,
got caught up in his feelings.
He did.
Mm-hmm.
He did. But let's go back to that.
Mm-hmm.
But he may have thought those,
mm-hmm.
but he never let those consume him.
Right. He kept his eye on what he knew he needed.
The enemy, you know, you get that hit that many times with fiery darts,
right.
It takes a toll.
Right.
But your shield of faith is still holding.
Mm-hmm.
You're still standing.
Right.
When all you can stand, you keep standing.
Just keep standing.
And David kept standing
right.
in this process here. And that's why he said in verse 23, oh, love the Lord.
Yes.
David had a love for God.
Yes.
He had a respect for God. And that's what kept his focus on God.
Amen.
That's what kept his focus. And he's encouraging us. He said, love the Lord, all ye his saints.
Yep.
Because the Lord, he's the one who preserves us,
mm-hmm.
who keeps it. And that's what kept David.
Right.
That was one of the blessings of what God did for David.
That's pretty impressive.
That,
It really is.
But you know, let's go back to verse 1.
Yes.
Lord, do I put my trust?
Yeah. Where are you trusting today?
David never lost sight of that through the whole prayer of this right here. He said, Lord, you're the preserver of the faithful, and you're the plentifully rewarder, rewardeth the proud doer.
He's his life preserver.
I want to be on the first line of that.
Right.
I want to be found faithful.
Yes.
I don't want to be that proud, disobedient. I want to be the faithful doer
yes.
here.
Yes. Absolutely.
I don't want to be the enemy of God who's showing hostility.
No.
But I want to be that obedient follower of God.
Oh,
I want to be found loving the Lord.
Well, he says in 24, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord.
Mm.
All we have to do is hope and trust in God.
Wow. I feel like David wrote that for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm his favorite. So I'm sure it was to me.
I did look at that. Yep. He says, Randall, he said, I want you to be of good courage.
Right.
He said, because I know that the Lord whom I serve, whom I trust, who's my rock and foundation, who redeemed me, who kept me, who preserved me, who set my feet in a large place.
Yes.
He's the same God that touched my heart, is the same God that's going to strengthen your heart.
Right.
He said, as I put hope in God, put your hope in God too.
Yes, absolutely.
What a great conclusion to the prayer right there.
Right.
And so I would just like to encourage our audience. Well, that too is I have made that personal in my life as I read this. I would like for you to read Psalm 31 and 24 and just put your name there and make that personal. Just like David said, the Lord is my shepherd. Read this in fact, be of good courage. Write your name right there.
Right.
David, that's an encouragement to still, you're talking about the blood speaking from the ground.
Yes.
David is still speaking right
here.
He is still encouraging his audience as we read this. And so, praise you know, God. let the God of hope strengthen your heart. So let's have prayer tonight.
Yes.
Father, we just thank you for, Lord, another great time of, we've got to just gather around this table and just share. We open your word tonight, Lord, and truly it came to life. Lord, truly it's the illustrated version, the living version of your word. And so, Father, we pray tonight, Lord, as we whatever they're facing out of going through, Lord, let the words be an encouragement to them tonight. Lord, as we say, be of good courage. Be of good courage tonight, because the God who loves you, he cares about you, he watches over you, he watches over his word to perform it in your life. And so we're going to trust God. He's going to strengthen your heart, no matter what adversity, no matter what challenge, no matter what backset tonight. We pray that God is going to strengthen your heart, and we pray that hope is going to come to reality, that hope is going to be seen in your life. The victory is coming. The breakthrough is coming. Praise be to God. Father, we bless your holy name. Lord, I just pray for the hearts and their lives right now. Lord, I pray for that one that, Lord, that may be listening that doesn't know you yet, Lord, and I pray that tonight, Lord, that they will do like David and put their trust in you. They'll give you their heart tonight. Lord, they will surrender their heart and soul to you and believe in you and make you Lord of their life. Father, I pray that tonight, Lord, as you gave them that offer and that opportunity, Lord, I pray that they receive that and receive you as their personal Savior. Father, that you'll be their helper, Lord, in their life as well. Father, we love you. We give you all the praise for all that you do for us. A God of glory, a God of victory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. What a good word tonight. We hope you're all blessed. And we just want to say thank you for listening to the Messiah's Misfits podcast. If you haven't already, make sure you subscribe wherever you're listening today so you don't miss an episode. It would also mean a lot if you took the time to give us a review so others can find our podcast and we can continue to serve and to teach.
The Messiah's Misfits podcast is a ministry of Yale Assembly where our mission is to build kingdom people. To find out more about Yale Assembly and our other ministries, you can go to yaleassembly.org.